At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
You good?
I'm good, you?
I'm great, man. No problems.
Good.
Feels better in here. Life is good.
Yeah, the AC's working.
Yeah.
Big shout out to
AC people.
The AC guy. Whoever fixed the AC.
Whatever.
Or God, because maybe it's not as hot today. How are your boys? How's
everybody's
life?
Good,
everyone's
man.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Are you excited about... Are we both wearing blue?
Yeah.
That's not exactly the same. What is that shirt? Does that say Akron?
It's minor league baseball.
Akron?
The Akron Ducks.
That kind of surprises me a little bit.
I buy, like, you can go, like, so at the beginning of baseball season,
yeah.
If you go to, I think it's MILB or MILB, one of those. If you look it up, minor league baseball, they sell their shirts. At the beginning of the season, you can get them for, like, $10.
Oh, I should have got some storm chasers.
Right. They have them, man. And they have, like, you know, I like this one just because I thought the Akron Ducks. I have, like, the, I don't know, the Louisiana Crawdaddies or something, like... The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. You know, because they have all those names. So I kind of like this one just as Akron and Seduction.
Right, I'm going to look for it right now.
But
by the time we come back,
Ohio.
All the storm chasers. That's my thing that surprised me.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like, it's not red.
It's not an Ohio state.
Right, no, it's not. But still, it is from the state.
From the state of Ohio.
The states, right?
The.
And we say it the mean in a God. Negative way.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know,
they say one of those challenges on baseball, so I was watching.
I think they do it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure. I guess
I
we'll
like
see.
It.
But because you can keep your challenges as long as you're correct.
Yeah.
Presumably, if the ump is getting a lot of them wrong, or maybe it's maybe the batter has a better perspective. I don't know. I think the ump's supposed to because he's right over the plate.
Yeah.
But maybe a batter that has a good eye will be like, yeah, I know that was a ball. Yeah. Yeah, I know that was a strike. And if they just keep doing that, that's the only thing is would it start to look bad on the umps if they just keep challenging?
Yeah,
I know you
sure.
talked about the scorecard yesterday.
Yeah. They just keep challenging.
It's the pitcher,
the
catcher, or the batter,
challenge?
I think so.
Those
yeah,
three
right.
players. It has to be one of those three, I think, is what they said. So I would assume that it would usually be the batter, and then second most would be the catcher
right? Yeah.
But those would be the two who do it the most, and then the pitcher. But it could go batter, pitcher, catcher, I don't know. But I've only seen batters do it so far.
I've seen the pitcher do it.
You have? Okay, I've only seen batters do it so far. It's kind of crazy.
Cole Reagan's did it.
Oh, you told me that, and I didn't see it.
Oh, that's right. That's when he walked off, right?
Yeah. I was watching stuff about the season opener in Tokyo.
Yeah, it was like at 4 a.m. this morning.
It's
I did not
crazy.
Get up for it.
It's just crazy how much money. So, people who don't know, I think they said, are there four Japanese-American baseball players for the Dodgers? Or maybe it's for the Sox and the Dodgers combined. They were talking about the number of Japanese players who play in the MLB who are, I think, playing in this opening series. But I could be wrong. But the point is, they said the Dodgers have become Japan's team. That they've adopted the Dodgers as their national team. And so, you know, obviously we know that baseball is really popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, they are Dodgers fans. And
well, they got Shohei. And then Shohei brought in that pitcher.
Yep.
That pitcher was going to go wherever he wanted. And I guess they used Shohei as kind of like, hey, come here.
Yeah. So that's two. And then maybe there's a couple guys on the other team. I'm not sure. But yeah, they said the Dodgers have been their team. You see all this Dodger stuff. And there are people who flew from California, whatever, to go to Japan, to go to the MLB opener, and they would fly there. They spent all this money on airplane tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have tickets to the game. They were going to try and buy them when they get there.
Right.
People were talking about these tickets costing thousands and thousands of U.S. dollars.
Well, extreme,
like Super Bowl level for some
for
of these tickets.
Baseball?
Get out of here. It's crazy.
One of me and my boys try to get a stadium every year, a different one. And Ohtani's first year here for the Angels, we went to a game.
Okay.
And he was there. And I was shocked. I mean, I knew it was a big deal.
Was he like already a big deal at that
point? He was a big deal coming in. But, you know, when before he got here, it was kind of like, how good is he going to be? Is he going to be Ichiro good? You know what I mean? Some guys come and they're not as, you know, so how good is he going to be? But I remember we walked in and like, man, so many Asian people with Ohtani jerseys on.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year, and you think about it because Mike Trout was on the team at that time.
Yeah.
And so I guess I just thought that everybody would have a Trout, you know, shirt on.
Right.
Like everybody would have a Bobby Witt Jr. shirt on or an Aaron Judge, you know, depending on where you go. And it was, I would say, 70% Ohtani jerseys his first year.
I thought.
You know, just like Ichiro in Seattle when we went there. It was like, you know. I think the Japanese people adopted the Mariners when it was Ichiro.
You said there was a lot of Japanese people at the game you were at?
Yes, a ton of them. Yeah, in Ohtani stuff.
I thought of you because I saw, as they were doing all this press coverage for the opener, I see a familiar face, a little bit older, but a familiar face. It's Ken Griffey Jr., and they're talking about Shohei, and he goes, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean by that? He's like, he is the guy that you stop what you're doing and you watch.
Yes.
He's the guy in baseball that if you see him about to make a play, if you see him walking up, you stop what you're doing.
Well, people
and you
talk
watch
about
him play.
It like
that's a pretty good.
You know, Travis Hunter plays offense and defense, and he's going to get drafted this year. And they're like, is he going to play wide receiver or cornerback for whoever? Is he going to play both? And is he like Shohei Ohtani? And the answer is, we have never seen anything like Shohei Ohtani. And you think about it in the sense of like a defensive back and a wide receiver are kind of. It's the same skill set to a degree. Batting and pitching are almost the opposite skill sets.
Absolutely.
Right? And this guy's going out and he's top five hitter and top five pitcher. And he's like, you know, I can do both. And they're opposite skill sets. I've just mastered them.
I've always been amazed when a pitcher could hit anything, could bunt a ball, and could just get one hit a season. I was always shocked. Like, how could you possibly hit? And I know that these guys grow up playing, but, man, if you're a pitcher, you grow up pitching. That's what you were finding.
Well,
if you made it to the major leagues, you worked on pitching.
Like, of course. Like that. Why they always say, like, why can't pitchers, the greatest pitchers in the world were probably really good hitters in high school. just star athletes, right?
Sure.
So they can hit.
That part I get.
But all of a sudden you get to college and like, yeah, you're not hitting. There's no reason for you to do batting practice. Like, you're pitching. You're working on pitching. You're throwing bullpen. That's what you're doing. And then they get to the major leagues. The pitching's better. Like, why can't pitchers hit? Well, because they don't work on it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but then Ohtani is like, yeah, no, I'll work on both of them. And they're like, well, you know, here's something that's wrong with your game. Last year, like, you know, he doesn't steal a bunch of bases. And he's like, well, okay, I'll work on it. And then he just steals a bunch of bases.
Yeah.
There's a video of that guy getting struck out by like a 100-mile-an-hour split finger fastball. And he looks at, you could see it, and he looks at the pitch, and he looks at the catcher, and he shakes his head like this. The next game, he goes out and throws a split finger fastball. Not in his repertoire at all before that. But watched somebody else do it to him and was like, that's a good pitch. Why don't I take 3 or 4 days here and just go ahead and master that?
Dude.
Unbelievable.
I'm impressed if somebody can vaguely describe the 15 main pitches in baseball,
right?
So you know, to master that, and you made the argument before that he could be the greatest athlete.
Yes.
Of his sport, of
I think he could be the greatest
a century. I mean, and he could, then you make that argument, is he maybe the greatest. And I mean, you can talk about the GOATs. I know he's still early in his career, but you can talk about the GOATs. But Tom Brady wasn't running out there and catching the ball.
No.
He wasn't zipping down the field and fighting off a corner and diving to make those one-handed catches.
We've never seen anything like it.
It's It's craziness. And they won today, right? I think they said yes, they did, because they said Shohei, shockingly, he got a hit that apparently brought them back. Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Baseball is here.
It's
it's there, but it's back, baby.
The Church of Laszlo.
So you guys know a thing or two about music, and you know a thing or two probably about movies and TV. You're aware. You've seen movies. You've seen television.
I'm aware that it exists.
Yeah, you're aware that it exists, and you're aware that a lot of times they'll put music in those TV shows in those movies. And I've heard that maybe even that might cost them some money.
Sure.
I've heard people talking about making movies, and that the hardest part is trying to get the music. They've got their wish list.
Yeah.
Here's all the songs, and like,
people who do that for a living.
Yeah. It's, I always thought that sounded like an interesting job.
A friend of mine does it.
Does he like it?
Sometimes they know what they want, but then they hire someone like her to be like, hey, this is the movie, this is the thing, this is the scene.
That's what I'm talking about. That sounds like a cool job.
Sometimes it's just somebody. So, like, you can put stuff together like, when Nick first got his show, I put him together with the Imagine Dragons. Fox Sports with Imagine Dragons for that song, whatever it was, like, first things first, right? But apparently, they got together and did it all. And if I'm correct, Nick came back and said it didn't work out because Imagine Dragons won $1 million
for it. It's expensive.
Right. Damn.
And that's where those people a lot of times will come in and say, all right, you wanted Zeppelin. What if I got you? And then boop. And for a lot of indie filmmakers, they really can't afford that music. So the downside is they don't get the music that they dreamed of putting in this in their life. But sometimes we get exposed to cool new artists, and it's a great chance for artists to get exposure. I mean, now it's one of the probably the ways you've managed bands before. They dream for a chance, I got to assume, to be in a Netflix series, to be in a movie, to have their music played, even if it's at the end credits. Because myself personally, if I go and look at my Shazam history, it's all stuff from end credits that I heard somewhere on the show.
And
I'm like, hey, what is that? What is that? Do I not? Oh, okay, Salt and Pepper. So what songs do you think are the most used in TV and movies?
Like,
they don't do them separately. They say, these are the artists and songs. These are the songs that have been used the most in film and TV, and they actually combine them. It's this many total, TV and film. It's this many total. So,
well, it ain't the Beastie Boys.
No, we know that they famously said no thanks to that. They've been in a couple of, like, charitable ads, like Girls in Science and stuff
like
that.
The White Stripes never did, but Jack White does a lot.
Yeah.
I hear his stuff. Yeah, I hear his stuff.
White Stripes did one time for Napoleon Dynamite, I think.
But if you try and think about just songs that you hear a lot, it is not as easy as I would think, because I was like, all right, those would be easy. Let me think about it. What is it, like, Stairway to Heaven? Well, no, wait, that's not actually probably in a lot of movies. And you start trying to, I'm like, a Sweet Home Alabama, maybe? Like, that's in a lot of stuff, isn't it? Oh, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah.
So these are the ones that they say, at least. And where did I find this? It's some stat website. It's called Stat Significant. I've never been to this website before. I thought it was interesting. So these are the songs that are in TV and movies the most. Fix You by Coldplay was on the list.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You just got to imagine.
Every rom-com.
You already know the moment of the scene.
Exactly.
You just saw it. You just saw how the camera panned away.
That song's just
And then someone's upset. Yeah. Fade Into You, Mazzy Star.
Mazzy Star
is one of those artists who, you know, that song probably wasn't a huge radio hit at the time, but that song has been used in so many shows and movies over the years that I got to think it probably made some people some money, right?
Oh, I would think so.
Because I think if you want it now in a movie, you still got to pay a decent chunk of change for it.
There's a set price for it, and how many? There's like a mechanical license, and then there's a Harry Fox agency.
Yeah.
Ask ChatGPT how it works. But put in those things, be like, how does it work? So it's like, how many people do you expect to see it? There's a formula. How high did it get on the charts? That type of thing. And then you pay based on that.
And is there backup?
Unless the artist can say, I don't want you to. But I think like there is a set kind of formula. And then after so many years, I don't think the artist can say you can't anymore. It becomes public domain to some degree.
Well, the artist, if they own the publishing, I know sometimes will say, we know you can't afford it. You can use it.
Right.
That's the thing I hear a lot is they don't have the money that it would normally cost to get an Elton John song. So Elton John says, you know what? I liked it. You can use the song. So you hope for that. But for something like Mazzy Star, Fade Into You, I would think if I was in that group, I'm like, hey, you're paying us every time. No freebies. This is how we make our money because we're one of the top 10 most used songs in TVs and movies.
Wayne's World.
Where
guy wanted to use 18 or whatever, and the manager
Chef Gordon.
And he came in with Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, so we're going to do 18. He's like, no, we're doing the new single.
And
Mike Myers like, you're not doing it. He's like, oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah. In Wayne's World, what they wanted too, the famous scene where they're singing Bohemian Rhapsody, the producers were like, we're not using that song. It doesn't work. It costs too much money, and Guns N' Roses is a way more popular. So I think they wanted to do Sweet Child of Mine, and Mike Myers threw this fit. Like, I did not write this to be GNR.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do this. And he claims in interviews, I've heard him say that that's where he developed this reputation of being difficult.
Right.
Because in that moment, they're like, who do you think you are? This is your first real movie.
The Stairway bit, they couldn't get Stairway.
Yeah.
And that's where it's the Access Denied or whatever.
Yep. And then, the Alice Cooper thing, he does Feed My Frankenstein. Yeah. And they're like, okay, well.
He's like, I know you want to
use the only reason I know that song.
And basically, it was like, you can use 18 or whatever in the credits.
Yeah.
But he's playing that song right now.
Yeah. Here's one that's interesting. Again, these are top 10 songs. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. I can see that being in a lot of
rom-com
stuff.
Too.
Yeah, it's just shocking that it's top 10. That's what I'm saying. This is harder than I would have thought. I wouldn't have been able to guess many of these. Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. Okay, sure.
Yeah,
I've heard that in a ton of things over the years. Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Okay.
Yeah, you can use it in comedies. You can use it, in rom-coms.
What is the Marvin Gaye song in Good Will Hunting? I think it's Let's Get It On when they see the dudes. And they jump out of the car to fight them. It cuts into a Marvin Gaye song.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. I just watched it last week.
Remember?
I watched it last year.
Matt Damon's like, hold on. He jumps out of the car and punches that guy.
Yeah.
I think it's Marvin Gaye. It's Let's Get It On or...
Let's Get It On. It's...
You can look it up.
It's a Marvin Gaye song for sure.
Well, Let's Get It On makes sense. I've definitely heard it plenty of times, so I'm not shocked that it's in the top 10. Now, the three most played songs in movies and TV. At Last by Etta James. Okay, I could see that being used a lot, but it's the third most. They say 49 film and TV appearances.
Okay.
That's a lot. Push It, Salt and Pepper, number two. How does that... Push It. That's the second most popular song in movies and TV.
It's gotta be.
How is that possible?
Will Ferrell movie when he's in a bar, I'm guessing.
I guess.
It sounds like that he would be listening to that.
But number one, while I went, I was not surprised, I went, of course. And I don't know if you guys would possibly have any guesses. I need to narrow it down
Vietnam
a bit.
Vietnam movies, Creedence Clearwater.
You'd think CCR or something, right?
That's CCR, The Buffalo, Doors.
All those artists that are used in the 60s-themed movies and Vietnam-themed movies.
There's a Vietnam scene. Like you just
If you flash back to the 60s on a sitcom, then it's like you expect to hear Bad Moon Rising or something from CCR.
I'm going to say Delamitri.
Ooh, nice. Okay. Snow Cone, any guesses in there?
I mean,
didn't they do the Friends one? Bellamy, isn't it?
I guess
it was CCR. Or whatever.
What are they called? What was it? What was the name of that song?
I don't remember. I just know it from Friends.
Was that Delamitri?
I think maybe.
I thought it was L something. I don't know.
Yeah, L7?
No, not L7. No, I don't know what they're called, so it doesn't matter. I know that they only had the one song. By the way, you think they made a ton of money off that? Because that's an example of probably an artist that said...
Delamitri, you're best known for the song Nothing Ever Happens.
Oh, well, then it's not them. Sorry.
Well, whoever did the Friends song, I'm sure they thought...
Damn it, I'll find it.
I'm sure there. I could see that being a situation where the network's like, you're nobody. We're not paying you much.
That's the Rembrandts.
And so then you... Rembrandts, okay. But then do you hopefully work out something in the deal that says, yeah, but if this gets played in syndication, you're going to pay us every time? Because remember when they did, and I know this has happened other times, other people have talked about seeing it in other places, but I specifically saw it in The Wonder Years when it was on Netflix. They put The Wonder Years on Netflix, and suddenly Joe Cocker is not singing the intro anymore.
It's like
a karaoke, and it's because the way that contract worked, it didn't work, I guess, for syndication on the internet. He wrote something where you could put it in syndication if it, you know, aired on TV.
There's been a lot of argument
about
that with
artists, not in the contract.
Too.
Yeah, because it's now streaming technically. Mm-hmm. The number one song used the most.
Montel Jordan.
It's not surprising, is it?
What movies is this in?
I mean, what is it not in? Probably The Nutty Professor. I don't know. It's in so many things, though. Anytime they walk into a club in a sitcom, I feel like you start hearing Montel Jordan. You usually just hear that part. This is how we do it.
Right, I would.
And then it might sort of fade out, but you hear it a ton.
Yeah.
Hear it a ton. And, come on. I mean, that's not really necessarily my genre, but it's a pretty good song. Pretty good song. Would you not agree?
I don't know.
Come on.
I would not agree.
It's a pretty good song.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo.
All right. So the missing girl in the Dominican. Pretty big updates, you know. They still haven't found her body. But her parents are now asking that the authorities declare her dead. And this Josh Reby guy, who is the person of interest, and has been kind of, it sounds like he's been stuck down there. The authorities down there would never officially say whether or not he was allowed to leave, but his family said that they took his passport and stuff away. So it sounded like he was stuck down there. His family was concerned about this whole thing, and we don't have to go over his story again. We've been over it. But I thought this was interesting that her family has now said, look, we think she drowned, and we do not think that he's responsible.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, for that to come from her family, that's got to be one step in the right direction. But his family's also been protesting to try and get some sort of legal protection for him because, like I said earlier, they are concerned about him not having a lawyer all the time, not having a translator all the time, just not knowing exactly what his rights are. And so they have petitioned for this right of habeas corpus. And that should, they said, mean that the authorities, whether it's the FBI, but mostly the Dominican authorities, should have to hand over some information that says, here's why, if we want to hold on to him, here's the information that we have that is leading us to not want to let him go.
Sure.
And that would mean that the media would get an idea of what they know.
The 22-year-old Iowa man expected in court later today. Reby's lawyers have filed a habeas corpus petition, which is normally used to push for someone's release from detention.
Is this going to be a day of revelation?
It definitely could be. The authorities in the Dominican Republic are going to have to explain why exactly they're detaining him. And if they want to continue to detain him longer, they're certainly going to have to justify that in some way.
So presumably there could be something coming out in the next hour or two. I don't really know. He might be in court right now. But just imagine if you are a family member of his, if you're him. I would think that the family saying...
You think that's
the
enough.
Girl's family saying, hey, we don't, that's a good feeling. Like, okay, somebody believes me. And it's not just somebody, it's her family that believes me. So, this hearing for unlawful detainment will be, that's exactly what we talked about yesterday. Do the cops have stuff on him? And the media is just not aware of it yet. What do they have in this investigation? Because they've held him down there for a while. We're talking about, I think we're on day 12 of this whole thing. So if he's still down there and they're taking away his passport, do they have a reason beyond just he was the last person to see her? If they believed the story, would they have let him go by now? I said, like, hey, we're going to let you go, but we may need, you know,
maybe
something.
They're just hoping to find the body and see if there's something there.
Exactly. And like you said, the chances that
that body would show anything,
probably pretty low, but maybe they're hopeful that, they can do that. So, again, maybe we'll know something later today. Putin and Trump are supposed to be meeting, I think, again, maybe like right now. Trump's optimistic that we can bring it into this war.
President Trump gearing up for today's high-stakes call with Russia's President Putin.
We're going to see if we can work a peace agreement, a ceasefire and peace, and I think we'll be able to do it.
Putin says he supports the idea of a ceasefire, but his conditions have included guarantees Ukraine will disarm and not join an alliance, which would leave Ukraine vulnerable, Kyiv says. And the White House is talking one-on-one with Russia about Ukrainian territory and assets.
I'm sure that always makes the other country happy. We're like, okay, so you guys are going to talk about how to divvy up our country while we're not here.
Right.
But I don't know anything about this other than what I read, and they've said that Putin doesn't seem like he's all that eager to. He says that he wants this ceasefire, but he doesn't actually show any eagerness. So, and what does Trump do in a situation like this? How badly does he want this war to end? And does he say, yeah, okay, you can have half of Ukraine?
Yeah.
Or three quarters?
Yeah, I think so.
Or the whole thing, or whatever. I mean, you just have to base it off of what you know about Trump, and do you think that's the kind of deal that he'd be willing to make? Does he certainly doesn't seem to be as concerned about Ukrainian sovereignty and their land and all that as the previous administration. He definitely seems to have a focus on let's end it, because he kept saying when he was campaigning, "I'll end this thing.
Yeah, I'll have it done in 24 hours.
Yeah, I'll have it done in a day." So I've got to think that he's motivated to get it done, and that could mean a different cost. Okay, the Gene Hackman thing, Laszlo. This
Jesus
is why I know. But so get this, all that stuff. We figured out how she died. And they have a pretty good idea how he died, heart failure. And we know that he had dementia as well. But they've now had a little bit of a wrench thrown in their gears when it comes to the timeline. And you go, okay, well, so the timeline's off by a few days. Does that really matter? Well, it does matter because of the way that the wills are written out. And I don't know if you saw this, but he has a massive estate. I mean, that home alone was worth something like, I don't know what they said. It was a massive amount of money. It's in New Mexico, right? And his will says, okay, I leave everything to her.
Mm-hmm.
Her will says, I leave everything to charity. Well, now it really matters who died first, because if you're one of his kids, one of his descendants, whatever, family members, you're thinking, wait a second, if she died first, then we can make the argument that that stuff is ours.
Okay.
But if they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that, you know, the other way around.
Sure.
So it all has to do with who gets the money. And of course, not surprising at all, the family has already started to hire lawyers and these, what do they call them? State attorneys, whatever they're called. Because there's a lot of money to be lost here, won here, however it ends up playing out. And if she was to leave it all to charity, like, I don't know what the situation was with his relatives, but imagine
I don't
that
know if it was tight with his family or not. I mean, left it all to her.
He's thinking he leaves it all to her.
Yeah, but he's got to know that she said she left it all to charity.
You think? I mean, that's what I would think. Or did she just think, well, I'll outlive him. So then once I get all of his stuff, then if they want to petition me and talk about how we now change this will, what I'm going to leave to his family members and all that, I think that's possible. But the fact that she already had it in her will that everything goes to charity,
officials now say Betsy called a medical service the morning after she was previously thought to have died. Gene left his $80 million estate to his wife and did not name his children. Betsy left her estate to charity.
If Betsy passes away first and then Gene, his will, in a sense, would become void because the individual he wanted his items to be passed to no longer exists. His estate would go to probate court, where individuals can argue that they should receive the benefits of Gene Hackman's will.
Okay, so here's the only thing, though. You know, they'd said that she might have died as, what, like 7 to 9 days or something before him. Even if she was alive the day after they previously thought she had died, that still gives her some time to have died before him, right?
Yeah.
So, and this seems like something that would have come up before, but I'm guessing the media just didn't know about how the will was written. So we know that she called this like a minute clinic, and they said that I saw this morning that I don't know if it was an actual minute clinic. It was described as a minute clinic on one of the things I was watching, but one of the doctors from that clinic said that she sounded okay, but she said she wasn't feeling great. And then she was supposed to come in and see us, right? She didn't show up, and we called, and she didn't answer. So to me, if she's supposed to make a call or show up or whatever it was, and she misses that, and you're trying to get a hold of her, and she didn't answer the phone, then it's probably safe to assume that she died sometime between when she last talked to you.
Before him?
It would be the day after. Yeah, but it would still, I think, be before him. There's a good chance it would be before him. But, of course, the families are going to try and fight and say, how do we know for sure?
Her family?
I actually haven't heard anything about her
family.
Right,
so if she just left it to charity, what is, I mean, it seems to me like it's going to go to the family, because what is the charity going to be like, no, it goes to us?
I don't know. I don't know if charities...
I don't think they would get involved
get lawyers
in that,
and say, hey.
And who's going to represent her? What lawyer's going to take her side and be like, hey, we're going to fight this so that it all goes to charity? Like, I don't see how they fight it, so...
You hear those stories about people who are fighting over estates, and that's never really been an issue in my family, but because there's really not much there, but... I've always tried to tell myself that if I were in a situation like that, that I wouldn't let it get between me and my brothers.
Right,
if I thought, look, they're drawing this line in the sand, and I can tell they're going to be pissed, and maybe not talk to me, then just let them have it.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about $80 million, I can see how suddenly, even if you've always told yourself, I'm not going to be that kind of person, you can always use $80 million.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how many kids he has.
I saw something this morning, and now I don't remember. But I got the impression that it sounded like he and his kids weren't real close, which I guess I could have gathered that from the fact that he left everything to her. But that's also, did he leave everything to her thinking, you're my wife, you get to have all of my wealth until you die, and then you can divvy it up.
That's what my dad did.
But she'd already made this thing about giving her money to charity. Was that with the intention of thinking, I'll have Gene's wealth by the time I die, and I'll be leaving all of our wealth, quote unquote, to charity? Or was this something she came up with a long time ago? Yeah, I'll just, you know, make a living while just leave my stuff for charity.
Okay, so I'm no expert, but I would think she made a will for her wealth.
Yeah.
She didn't make a will with Gene's wealth
in mind.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's like, if I die, Gene will still be here. My money is going to go to charity. Gene's money will go wherever he wants afterwards. And Gene's like, well, if I die before you, then you just take my money and then figure out your will
after
that.
Exactly, because presumably you'd have years. She was how many, almost 30 years younger than him, something like that? Because he was 95, I think she was 65, something like that. So, yeah, $80 million up for grabs. I don't know if we could try and get in.
We should start a charity.
We should start a charity right now, Snow Cone.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo. All right, doom scroll.
You remember the wombat woman, Laszlo, the girl that...
stole a wombat?
Yeah.
A
hunting influencer, they kept calling her?
All right.
I can't believe you remember that.
Huh?
I can't believe you remember that.
He had seen the story before we talked about it that day.
Yeah.
Remember, I was like, hey, you seen this thing about the wombat? He's like, yeah, of course I've seen the thing about the wombat.
Oh, right.
So she's the one who, she was in Australia. She's an American girl. She's in Australia. She picks up this baby wombat. She posts a video on Instagram or wherever it was, TikTok. And people were pissed because she took the wombat away from us. Well, I really can't believe that this sparked such international outrage, but it did. I mean, she put the wombat back. And the criticism was, well, we don't see if the mother actually reunites with the baby. I don't know. It's one of those things. You know, you have those things in life where you go, I'm really shocked that this particular choice has turned out to be such an important decision.
Sure.
Because at the time, I didn't think it would be. I thought nothing of it. So the authorities in Australia got involved. They were trying to kick her out. They did kick her out. And now she has finally spoken out again. She's apologized, sort of, but also said that, you know, Australia, basically, they're a bunch of hypocrites because they don't treat their wildlife very well.
The same government that is calling for my head is the one that spends millions of your tax dollars to mass slaughter native Australian animals.
Sam Jones, who is no longer in Australia, saying she has gotten death threats after posting this video.
I caught the baby wombat.
Jones saying she stopped to check on the baby because she saw it on the side of the road. I looked it over quickly and immediately returned it to its mother.
So this is where we need Laszlo's crisis management.
Yeah.
Once this thing exploded into this huge story,
oh boy,
and the authorities in Australia were saying, we're going to get you out of there, would your advice to her have been the same as mine? Because I'm going with just lay low for a while. This will all blow over. We have a short memory span.
Yeah.
Just let it go, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would be thinking. Instead, she posts a video saying, hey, Australia, you think you're so great.
Although, I mean, if her only source of income is being an influencer, laying low does not help that.
But do her followers, were they mad at her? Her own followers?
I don't know.
Well, she's a hunting influencer. Do they really care that
she's
separated?
That's what I'm saying. So if they don't, then just go ahead and say what you got to say.
Yeah.
Because you're only worried about your followers.
Yeah, I guess. Because it feels like if you're, and I still don't really know what that means. I assume she hunts a lot. Right. So I would think that you could just keep acting. You leave Australia. Oh, yeah, we remember what happened there. Instead of putting out a video criticizing them, and then you end up back on the Today Show on Good Morning America. Because clearly the media is like, can you believe this bitch? Can you believe, who does she think she is? And it's like, she's not going to win that war with the media. For whatever reason, picking up that wombat became this big, big deal, which it shouldn't have. That's a glitch in the Matrix,
right, for sure.
A hunting influencer picking up an animal and putting it back, and that becomes such a big story. So we talked earlier about the McDonald's lawsuit years ago where the woman sued over the hot coffee. Well, now it's happened in Los Angeles to Starbucks, okay? This was a delivery driver who was badly burned after hot tea spilled onto his lap. This happened a few years ago. And apparently, it says, look, the lid wasn't on there properly. I don't know how you go to prove that, but he says the lid wasn't on there properly. I didn't see anything where they're saying like it was so hot that it warped the lid, just saying that it wasn't properly packaged, and so it burned him, and it caused these bad burns. How much money do you think he was awarded?
No idea.
It's a decent
Starbucks
amount.
Says if our hands are off the drink, then no matter what happens, we're not responsible. It's a reasonable verdict. It's justified. This injury changed Michael's life. It was gross negligence. No amount of money is ever going to make up for what happened to him. I mean, this is a 25-year-old man whose whole life has been changed. But he's grateful.
Okay, he did have multiple surgeries, they said. This was a pretty bad burn. How's $50 million for your troubles? $50 million
from Starbucks?
Yes, from Starbucks.
What they
ordered to pay $50 million. The thing that I read said that
the goddamn team.
See, the thing was, it didn't say anything about the lid being warped because it was too hot or that it was served too hot. It was just, from what I read, the lid on the beverage was not secure. And whether that's the barista's fault, which they made it sound like, or the manufacturer of these cups and lids, but they blamed, his lawyers blamed the barista for not securely putting the lid on the drink. How do you prove that? Then it becomes a question of, you know, would you dump hot tea on your lap?
Yeah, right.
And sustain these kinds of injuries? Because obviously you're going to say
many surgeries.
Yeah, I don't know. They said that they had to do like skin grafts.
Yeah.
So they didn't say how many. They just said multiple surgeries, and that his groin, again, this is from his lawyer, but his groin is permanently disfigured.
Mm.
That could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, what are we talking here? Which part's permanently $50 million? I'd take an injury for $50 million.
Yeah.
And if that means a burn,
$50 million
on my crotch, $50 million. That's not like, because if you say a million, I'm still probably in.
I'd give him one of my testicles. You couldn't because you only have one left.
Well, I could give him one.
Yeah, but
with that kind of money, I could afford to get testosterone shots.
I mean,
yeah, people do it.
I guess people just assume it about you.
You get the fake ones, right? You get the matching set, and then you just give yourself testosterone shots. You'll be fine.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't really know how it works either, because you know, my other testicle,
it's like a kidney.
Made up for the loss and started doubling its output. So doctors,
Slim
like,
lost a testicle in a locker room incident.
It was a wet towel.
Yeah, snapped his scrotum.
Yeah, well, he snapped me in the crotch, and it split my
thing. It exploded his testicle. Could you imagine?
You know what's weird? I don't know if you've ever like seen pictures
of that. No,
of like what your testes actually look like when they come out of your body, but it's not what you'd think. It was that was a tough time in my life. You know, you're in junior high.
It ain't great.
You already got to wear those little shorts. and the little property of Lee Summit, whatever, T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to run out there and show how weak you are for the push-up contest.
One nut.
And they're like, hey, four eyes, because you got glasses on and they're hitting you with the kickball. And
four eyes, one nut.
So somebody snaps you with the towel and you're bleeding. The blood is concerning enough. But when you're bleeding, because honestly, it did hurt. But you've been kicked. Every guy's been kicked or punched in the junk. It's that feeling of like almost immediate shock. I've always heard people say, so I know it's not just me, I'm waiting because I know the pain's about to get so bad. You know, it's like that moment before it really. I think that's because when you get
an ambulance to the hospital.
Yes, they did. Why are you laughing about that? You want them to walk me there?
No, I just thought, you know, like you in the middle school, just an ambulance coming because you're scrolling.
Well, the kids, they pulled me off to the other side of the gym that they weren't using. Because they had like a, the nurse had some sort of a, it wasn't really a stretcher. It's like a, one of those wheelchairs with the tall backs on it, you know? And I don't know why schools
like
have that, but almost like a dolly wheelchair. And that's really what it is. And that's what they had. And then they wait for the ambulance to get there and then they take you off. And of course, you're just thinking, my dad is going to be so pissed. This is going to be so expensive. You know, looking back, though.
It's going to be so expensive.
Why didn't
that's what you thought when you were a kid? You're like, it's going to be so expensive?
Yeah, I was worried my parents were going to freak out. I thought, you know, this ambulance ride is going to cost thousands of dollars.
Oh, man. I just don't even think I would have thought about that. I'd have been more worried that I only have one testicle.
Did you hear your parents argue about money a lot when you were a kid? Like, concerned about money, arguing about money? I feel like people who, if they're around that a lot, then maybe you're...
My mom always bitching about my dad not spending enough.
Not spending enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know, I know we have it. We need new this. And he's like, oh, no, I don't need it. That was it.
My mom would complain about my dad not spending any money on himself. And I don't mean, like, buying new furniture. But, like, if she could say, hey, will you come out to eat? We should take the family to eat and get him to say yes. Once he gets there, he'd always order the cheapest thing on the menu. All the guy wanted, really, if he went out to eat with his family was to have a few beers, right?
Yeah, good for him.
But he hated ordering beer at a restaurant because it was too expensive, so my mom would have to, like, order the beer. She would order sometimes for him. Bring him. If you don't order, I'm going to order for you. No, Bonnie, I don't want. But he wouldn't mind thing. There were multiple times where we'd be standing in line at, like, the grocery store, Walmart. He go, boy, Cherry Mash, that's my favorite candy in the world.
Oh,
I love those things.
You want to get it for you?
I'm like, so get one. And he's like, no, I don't need to be spending. And my mom be like, what do you mean? It's 50 cents. Whatever it was at the time. He's like, I don't need it. That's how he was. He just wouldn't spend money.
So you're sitting there with an exploded testicle thinking, my dad's not going to want to pay for this ambulance ride?
I'm thinking, yeah. My parents aren't going to want to pay for this ambulance ride.
No, they did, right? Nobody was mad at you?
We may end up... No, they weren't mad at me, but, you know, now that I think about it, I'm kind of surprised my mom didn't sue the school, right? I mean, if you keep $50 million for Starbucks hot tea in your lap, well, then the school probably had some sort of obligation to try and keep me reasonably safe, and I'm sure if we'd gotten a lawyer, they could have made the argument that it wasn't the first time I'd been bullied or harassed and that nothing was done.
No, sometimes you just don't think to sue.
Yeah. Well, I didn't at
that
age.
But it's not what you think, you know.
Yeah. You got
When I go back to that Overland Park cop thing, man, I should have sued. I would have, you know how much money I would have got from Overland Park?
Yep. They would have settled.
And I've seen people do it after that.
Yeah. They just settled. They have money set aside to settle.
I know.
People like you, especially you were on the radio.
I know.
So they really just wanted to go away.
The chief of police just called and apologized.
Right. Sign this NDA, stop talking about it on the radio, and we'll pay you this much.
Right. That's what would have happened.
I feel like their starting offer would have been at least $50,000 as a starting settlement. Right. Hey, we'll give you $50,000, and then you counter, and I feel like you could have easily got hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. After
I don't know
I've
that it's millions,
people,
but...
After I've seen people do it, and if you go to court, like... You know, people don't like people's civil rights being stripped of them because... You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can...
Easy to find a sympathetic juror, right?
Yeah, there's some punitive damage there.
Yep. I would think that you... It's not even think. I know you would have gotten some money. And then, when you finally realized it, you started talking about it, and wasn't there a lawyer that reached out and said, how long has it been?
I looked it up, and it was like, you know, in order to sue the government, or say it's got to be within like 60 days or something. So.
Damn. The astronauts that have been stuck in space for 9 months, they're coming home tonight, gentlemen.
260 miles above the Earth at 12:04 a.m. Eastern Time, Sunday morning.
Dragon contact and soft capture complete.
Crew 10 docked with the International Space Station. The relief team for Crew 9, including two astronauts who have been on board the station since last June.
SpaceX Crew 10, welcome aboard the SS.
They're going to splash down this evening, Laszlo, if all goes to plan. No more space docking for those guys, at least for a little while.
And it's Elon Musk's team that went and got them?
It's SpaceX rocket that went up there and got them. Yeah.
Nice.
Elon saves the day.
That is pretty impressive.
I know. If those rich guys had rocket wars for a long time. Man. That's not like a new thing. And I read something about Elon where they were talking about how when he wanted to buy SpaceX and was interested in this, there were all these rich guys who were like, don't do it. You just, it never works. It's just, you pour so much money into it.
Sure.
And you're not going to get anything in return. And then they did it. He did it, they did it, whatever, and NASA's partnering with them. And you got a company as big as Boeing that's been trying forever, and NASA's like, no, we'll go with Elon's rockets, yeah. Right? I mean, that is impressive.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, of all the fights that I've seen or heard people talk about that they have about parenting.
Sure.
With their exes, mm-hmm. This has got to be the craziest. And I know that these people live crazy lives anyway because they're celebrities, but it involves Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Now, I don't think that the two of them get along very well. Snow Cone knows a lot more about Kanye in that situation. But from what I've gathered in the media, the two of them, a little bit at odds, right? Okay. And they have a kid. Now, there's common things that divorced parents fight
about. Is that North?
Yes.
Yeah, they have four kids. North is the oldest.
Okay.
And this story involves Northwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is West the middle name? No, that's the last name. Sorry, Northwest. Sure. I get you, Kanye West. Yeah. So what's the other kid's name?
There's North, there's Saint, there's Psalm, and there's Chicago.
Oh, there isn't another direction. Okay. All right. I'm thinking of Northwest. And so this involves Northwest. Kanye is friends with Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy's in a lot of trouble right now, as we all know. You don't need
real quick, by the way, I have heard that there's this conspiracy theory, like Elon Musk's kid's name and Grimes' kid, the letters and everything. In these crazy, stupid names that you hear, like Northwest and stuff, they're not their real names. There's a conspiracy theory that they give you these names so that when the kids go to school, they don't know who they are.
So they have different
so
names?
So, like, Elon's kid could really be, like, Steve Musk or something, or Steve whatever. But they give you this crazy name so that the press doesn't follow them or try to find out who they are.
So you're just protecting their identity.
Exactly.
Okay. I hadn't heard that, but I could see that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, they have these kids, and they have this kid in particular. This is who they're fighting about. Kim Kardashian has now said that she's...
isn't that something like Euro, Chacho, Bomb Pop? We kind of, you know...
Yeah, having nicknames, though, but I feel like when you go to the media and say, this is our child's name...
Say, here's the actual...
Like they say, you know, this is the name, and you give some number, or Apple Martin, Northwest, those are all, they say, not real names.
Okay.
I've never heard it, but that is totally plausible. So... Kim, Kanye not getting along well. Kanye's friends with Puff Daddy. He has been very outspoken in his support for Puff Daddy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I really don't keep him up with it much anymore, but I saw he was FaceTiming his son and was posting about, you know, we got to get Diddy out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He has said that he supports him and he's trying to help free Puff. So, in one of the more bizarre parenting fights I've ever seen, possibly the most bizarre, Kanye decides he's going to do a song to show support to his friend Puff. And he's going to get Puff to record some stuff over the phone. And not only is he going to do that, but he's going to put his child, North, on the song with Puff Daddy.
Okay.
So here you have this guy who's an accused rapist, right? Is that what we're calling him? However many times over, 100 and some times over.
Right.
And now imagine you're the parent and your ex is like, you know what? I think that Ted Bundy's innocent. Yeah. And, you know, I want them to take some photos together. Like, it's just so bizarre because I understand if the parent has any parental rights, then when that kid is in their custody and he's a songwriter, right?
Yeah,
so if he wants to do a crappy song with Puff over the phone and put his kid on it, what can you do? Now, Kim's like, I don't want the song released. I don't want any of this happening. This is bad. And I understand why.
Well, of course.
But I also understand that I almost hope, actually, that she can't do anything about it. Because as bad as it may be, It's not actually like abuse.
No.
It's just a bad look, right? It's just a really bad look. You think this guy's a rapist, and now your kid's doing a song right, with sure. this rapist after it's come to the attention of the public that this guy's a rapist. I mean, maybe she doesn't like the song. Did you hear the song that he posted, Snow Cone?
I had no idea about any of this.
Lonely Roads Still Lead to Sunshine? It no, sounds well. Like something I made up in the bathroom.
Okay.
On the spot. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of a title?
Ain't nobody
Yeah, absolutely. I love you so much, man. It's like you raised me, even when I didn't know you. You know what I'm saying?
That's the intro. You're the fan. So there's several people that are listed as being featured. Jasmine, somebody who's a new Kanye artist. The North, I don't know who's who. I mean, I know that was Puffy at the beginning talking to Kanye.
That's not North.
But I think that's the Jasmine whatever. But I don't know when the full song comes out. He just put this, he posted this thing on social media, I think Saturday or Sunday. Lonely Roads Still Go to Sunshine, new song by Puff Daddy featuring his son, King Combs, my daughter, North, and new Yeezy artist, Jasmine Williams.
Okay.
So, you know, Kim doesn't like it. And she's now said that she's going to take legal action to try and keep this song from being released. She doesn't want her daughter being a part of this. Their daughter is 11, by the way. And I get it. It's a totally bizarre situation. And I'll probably put it at the top of my list of weird things that divorced parents have fought about.
Right.
Because the common things, I even looked this up to see what lawyers say are the most common things divorced parents fight about. And it's holidays. Who gets them for which holiday? Scheduling, picking them up. Why didn't you pick them up? That sort of thing. And then there can be the really volatile one sometimes can be your parenting techniques, when especially when it comes to like corporal punishment.
Sure.
Are you going to spank the kids? Which could be, I would think that's probably about as bad as it gets, right?
During COVID, vaccinations.
Oh, yeah, medical stuff. That's a big one. Medical stuff.
Because, like, everything in my divorce is spelled out.
It
is? There's no stone unturned.
Really?
Yeah. And sometimes, like, even if I would get in an argument, like, sometimes, you know, my ex-wife would have different lawyers, and I'd just send a snippet. Boom. This is what it says in our papers. And I've had comments back, like, nobody looks at their paperwork as much as this asshole. And
right.
I'm like, hey, it's all there. Like,
that's good.
On spring break, I get them this day to this day, and this day to this day. Every other Christmas, even years, odd years, medical decisions, anything not like major surgery or an overnight hospital stay can be taken care of by the parent who's in custody of that time. So, conceivably, my ex, you know, wasn't anti-vax, but if she was, I could have taken them when I had them.
Okay.
Right? Because she can't. I mean, that would be the hard part on her, because she couldn't unvax them.
I know.
Right?
I mean, but I remember hearing stories about that.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm afraid now.
No, but everything is laid out. There's nothing that you could argue about. What time to pick them up? What time do they go to school?
Well,
who's in charge? At what time? If I drop them off at school, at what time does her day start with them on a transfer day? If they were to call sick.
Okay.
Like, even like, so I drop them off on Wednesday, your day starts Wednesday after school, but if they're calling sick, then who's got them at what time? That's all scheduled, everything.
That's good.
Yeah, because my lawyer's like, you two do not get along. You're going to fight about everything.
Yeah.
So
well,
we're just going to go through everything. But step, step, step. It's all there. And I just have it in my Apple Notes. I literally have in my Apple Notes, and if there's like, hey, you're going to do this, I'm like, no, I'm not.
I didn't know that you guys argued much. I mean, I knew that you may have disagreements here or there, but I didn't know. I never knew you'd, like, argue. But
I will say we didn't argue too much about parenting stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, in all honesty, I've never heard you tell a story. Like, I really can't imagine that the two of you would have some major medical disagreement.
No, like parenting, no.
God,
really.
Though, that, I don't even have kids. But that just, to me, seems about as bad as it gets. Having an ex who is, let's say, spanking my kid.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you can't do that. And they're saying, yes, it's legal. And when I have custody of them, I can. Whatever it is that we're fighting about, that's got to be one of the worst feelings in the world. Are you doing 50-50 or whatever it is, whatever that custody agreement is, that when they're with that parent can tell them whatever they want. They can say bad things about you. They can you know, within the laws.
Yeah.
If spanking's legal.
There's a lot of ways they can really kind of screw up the orders, too. So say, like, your kids play baseball, right? And say it's a certain amount of money a month to play baseball. And all extracurricular activities, I'm supposed to pay $60. The other one's supposed to pay $40, right? Okay. This is hypothetical now.
Okay.
But say, well, okay, so you sign up for baseball, and you're like, okay, you have, well, if they don't give you the 40%, then that's it. Like, either you pay the rest of it, or the kid doesn't play.
Yeah.
Because they can just be like, yeah, I'm not paying you.
And so
you're like, well, wait. So there is, you could go to court.
That's what I was going to ask. Then you have to take them back to court.
Yeah, now you have to go to court. How much does it cost for your lawyer to go there? So you're better off just paying it. So one of the parents would just be like, yeah, I'm not paying anything ever. Like, all of the health care is on our insurance, my insurance. So if they're supposed to pay 20% of that, if they just don't pay the bill, it just goes on my credit.
Right.
The creditors aren't like, oh, yeah, send that to them.
Yeah, okay.
Right? The hospital's not like, oh, yeah, show us your divorce decree. It's like, it's your insurance, douche.
And even if it said, okay, so even if there was something in there that said, okay, I pay 60, you pay 40.
Yeah.
You didn't pay the 40, and it just so happens that it says in there, if you don't pay the 40, then you relinquish all to custody rights. But even if that were written down, you'd still have to go back to court.
You'd have to go to court.
Because the other parent would have to agree, like, yeah, I did. Right. I guess I did lose my parenting rights. You're not going to do that.
Put that in there.
Okay.
You know, they would. I think what it says is, like, if you don't do it, then it's contempt of court.
Okay.
So you haven't followed the order, which is like whatever.
Man.
So you're just kind of like, yeah, well, whatever. I'll just do it.
I mean,
there's nothing you can do about it.
I don't envy it. It seems like, and in a lot of ways, you're lucky. Like you said, there's a lot of things that you guys could fight about that you don't. When it comes to parenting, you don't really have to worry about that too much. But I know there's people who do, and I just don't.
Yeah,
know.
I will say, like, we don't see eye to eye a lot, and we do argue. I mean, we don't argue anymore. Like, maybe two word texts. That's it. But at the beginning, there was a lot of arguments back and forth. A lot, you know. But it was never like, you know, how are you going to raise the kid? It wasn't that. You know what I mean?
The thing I feel, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but the thing that I've learned from just watching it happen to friends, I can see how a parent might say, I give up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I thought, well, why did the dad not show up anymore? Where was he? And a lot of times it was because he was a bad guy.
Right.
But what if some of those times when my friend's dad didn't show up, it was because those parents were fighting so much that he finally said, I can't afford to fight you anymore, and or I don't have the energy to fight you anymore.
Right.
I can see how people, now I don't have kids, so people might say, no, if it was your kid.
There's ways to do it. My uncle was a cop, and you see it sometimes in movies like that. Well, you know, he was a homicide detective, so he would go to pick up his kids, but he might be late because there was a murder somewhere.
Right.
And if he was 5 minutes late, his ex-wife would take the kids and leave.
Mm.
I'd be like, you're 5 minutes late.
Mm.
Like, or, you know, if he was behind in support or something, she'd take the kids. So, he would try to be like, all right, but, you know, his job wasn't, it didn't line up to be like, no, I'm going to pick the kids up at 9 a.m. because maybe he get a call at 8 a.m. and say, there's a murder.
Yep.
You got to go. And if and I think after a while, he was like, what do you want me to do?
Yes.
Like, I just can't. Like, there's nothing left to do.
No. Now, if my kid comes home and I found out that while they were gone, they performed a song with Puff Daddy, I don't love it, but that doesn't make me want to give up. But there are other things, for sure, like what you're describing, where you go, man, I could see. And really, also, not only exhausting, but the financial burden. Like you said, anytime there's a disagreement and you go, well, I want to do something about it, you have to go back to court.
Yes.
And lawyers are not cheap.
No.
And it seems to take a long time to get ready for these hearings, whatever are, to go back to court. And the more they're happening, I see it happening to friends, and I go, I don't know how
you
do
tough.
It. I might just get in my car.
But you see that on, like, you know, Facebook sometimes. I've mentioned it before. It's like, you know, they'll put a picture of a guy out. Well, I guess for women, too, but more often, guys, where they'll be like, look at this guy, you know, won't raise his own kids, but raises his new wife's kids. And it's like the guy playing baseball with his stepkids. It's like, all right, that's not a good look, and I don't like it, and I'd have never given up on my kids. But I'd like to know, how hard did you make it for him to be a father to his kids? How did you embrace him to be a father to his kids, or did you make it hard for him?
And that's right, the thing that used to cross my mind, and now it always does. Yeah. I go, yeah, because obviously this person's not opposed to being a parent,
right?
Full-time parent.
So how hard was it? How hard did you make it, you know?
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so this story seems crazy to me. Like I said earlier, I just heard about this morning, and then I'm fascinated. I went so far as to, I was going through the victim's family's Facebook pages and looking to see what they'd said. And I did see a lot of journalists who had messaged the family members and said, like, hey, my name's so-and-so. I'm with Law and Crime Network or whatever. Please reach out to me. I'd like to help tell your story. But for the most part, the story that I would see was this local news station out of Georgia, and then everyone just sort of repeated that story. Okay. They took those quotes. So these two boys, they're twins, okay? They're adults. They're 19. They're about to turn 20, a week away from turning 20. They look like they're identical twins to me. They were supposed to catch a flight to Boston,
okay?
On March 7th, I believe. From Georgia. Yes, from Georgia. I think they're going to fly out of Atlanta, and they were going to meet some friends in Boston. That's all they say about what they were doing in Boston. They're meeting some friends out there to have a good time. They miss their flight. They end up being discovered the next day in the mountains, in the Georgia mountains, 90 miles away from where these brothers lived, 90 miles away from their home. I guess some hikers or something encountered these people. There's actually been an update today because, you'll love this, Laszlo, a volunteer firefighter has been charged, but I'll get to that. So these twin brothers are found shot dead on this mountain.
Okay.
And originally, the investigators on the scene, the GBI and whoever else was there, said that they suspected that it was murder-suicide. The family has said that makes absolutely no sense. And you hear that a lot from families, right? We don't think that our loved one was suicidal. They had so much to live for. And so that's a pretty common thing.
Okay.
But this does seem like kind of a crazy story that these two were getting ready to take this trip. And then for some reason, if it was a murder-suicide, how did one brother convince the other brother, hey, let's drive out to the mountains? Or did he hold them at gunpoint and say, I'm going to drive you out to the mountains? Just a lot of questions here.
Police say twin brothers Kaidir and Nizir Lewis were found dead by hikers on a Georgia mountain, each found with gunshot wounds, according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which says their preliminary investigation reveals the deaths to be a murder-suicide.
We knew right away that wasn't true.
They're very protective of each other. I couldn't imagine them hurting each other because I've never even seen them get into a fist fight before.
Relatives saying the twins had tickets for a 7 a.m. flight on March 7th from Lawrenceville, Georgia to Boston, where they were set to meet friends. But on March 8th, their bodies were found at the summit of Bell Mountain, 90 miles away from their home and in an area their relatives believe they had never visited.
How they end out in the mountains, they don't hike out there. They've never even been out there. They don't know nothing about Hiwassee, Georgia. They never even heard of Bell Mountains. So how did they end up right there?
Okay, this is a little suspicious, right?
Sure.
Just because when I first saw the headline and started to read the story, I thought, okay, these brothers must have been kind of outdoors. They said, hey, we're going to go for a hike in the mountains or whatever. And then tragically, they end up, one of them, I guess, ends up taking the other's life and then taking his own. But when the family members say, no, they weren't hikers. They weren't familiar with this part of Georgia at all. They didn't know about these mountains. The other question I have, too, that I cannot find anywhere. They say that they were 90 miles away from their home, but it doesn't say who they live with, right? They're supposed to have this flight at 7 a.m. the day before. All it says is that they missed the flight. I'm curious if the friends in Boston were the ones that reached out and said, hey, where are they? Like, who noticed first that they were gone? I cannot find that information anywhere. All I can find is that they were discovered by some, I guess, hikers on these mountains in whatever, Georgia.
Right.
And they call authorities. Now, some of the first people that showed up were volunteer firefighters, Laszlo.
Okay.
They bring out the authorities. And I guess one of these, the update today is that one of these volunteer firefighters has been charged now because he took pictures of the crime scene and posted those pictures somewhere publicly or shared them publicly.
Oh, like the old Kobe thing.
Yeah, except this isn't a celebrity. You know, with the Kobe thing, like, you know, people are going to get paid a bunch of money if they can get a hold of those pictures.
Well, that guy was just showing, like, bartenders and stuff, but yeah.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah,
I thought he got a bunch of money.
Like, you can sell the team to you or whatever.
Yeah. But this person, all it said was that this volunteer firefighter it's a misdemeanor, but has been arrested for taking and sharing photos of these twins.
There you go, volunteer firefighter.
I know. Laszlo really has his dad was a volunteer firefighter.
No, he wasn't.
He was.
Why is there a void? We don't need volunteer firefighters. Just have firefighters. A firefighter wouldn't have taken a picture and put it on Facebook.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah. No. You like to think not. If they do, that's pretty anyway. Bad. But a volunteer firefighter, you don't know. These two kids, this is all we know. They're supposed to have that flight at 7 a.m. on the 7th. Their bodies are found the next day, 24 hours later, in these mountains. Everyone from the family says they had stuff planned. They had this trip planned, obviously, that they missed. That they never even so much as got into a fist fight. We never really saw arguing. They got along great. They were very happy, had a loving family. And I know you hear that stuff a lot from families, and I get it. But, you know, that's what they want to get that message out there. And now, so the preliminary investigation said, hey, you know, we think it's a murder-suicide, but they wouldn't tell the media whether or not the gun was located. I assume that it was if they thought it was a murder-suicide, right? But now they're saying, hey, the medical examiner is the one who makes the official determination.
Okay.
And the medical examiner has not made their determination yet because they say they are waiting on some more evidence and some more forensic evidence to come through. Doesn't this seem like kind of a crazy story? These two identical twins, 19.
I wonder if they went to the airport because it says they missed their flight. So, like, do they have them on camera at the airport?
Did they even try and go?
Are they missing it? Right, yeah.
Did they even try and go? That's my thing. When they say they missed the flight, who alerted them that they missed the flight? Was it the friends who were waiting for them in Boston?
Right, or is it just they missed the flight? Like they found them dead, so they obviously missed the flight.
Right, exactly. And when they say they're 90 miles away from home, okay. But it wasn't clear to me, like, do they live with their uncle, mom? Who are they living
with?
And
which way? Okay, they're 90 miles away from home. How far away are they from the airport?
They were, it looked like they're pretty close. It looked like the airport and their home, at least when they did the little dots on the map, like they were pretty close. And the mountains where they found were north of that area. So I did see one commenter saying, like, could they have decided that they were going to drive to Boston? Like, did they miss their flight? Now, that was some commenter, again. Right. And I thought, I guess they were sort of headed that direction. But that doesn't explain why one of them would have killed the other and then himself. And if that's the plan, if you're thinking, I'm going to kill my brother and then kill myself, unless, are they in on it together? Are we supposed to believe that because they're identical twins that maybe they could agree on
killing each other?
Suicide? We're going to take our lives at the same time.
Then why book a flight to Boston?
Exactly. It's suspicious, is it not?
It is
a lot of times, I know Unsolved Mysteries has done some of these, and people get upset and they say, you cannot act like these stories are crazy just because a family member says, no, they had so much to live for. And I understand that. I do. But there's more than that to this story. This is not just a suicide. It's a murder-suicide. A preliminary investigation found, right? They're supposed to have this trip.
Man, you love murder.
You're
like a middle-aged woman, man.
Yeah.
If there's some sort of murder story, you are knee-deep in it.
And we don't know that they were murdered. We don't know. That's just, you know.
Well, if there's a mysterious death, like, you find it.
Well, do you think it's mysterious?
A podcast or something.
We could do like a murder-based podcast.
You should
where
do
you just
it,
talk yeah. about murder. I bet people would be into that, Snoke. There's enough true crime fans out there.
Yeah.
You just do a podcast like every week or so.
How many episodes can we really do?
Yeah.
There's tons of crimes, right? Yeah. I think you could come up with enough stuff, at least for a little while. Yeah. But, Lazo, you're the common sense big picture guy. Set back, look at this big picture. And that's why I wanted to bring it to your attention because... I want to know.
I can't imagine what they were doing up in the mountains. It doesn't make any sense.
And to hear the family members also adamant that they didn't know that area, they'd never been to that area, they're not hikers, so why would they have gone up there? They're not familiar with the area.
Right. What's on their phone?
Yeah.
Their text messages?
That could
see
be.
All that.
When medical
somebody
examiner,
get them up there?
Yeah.
Somehow? I don't know.
When the medical examiner says we're waiting on more evidence, more forensic evidence, other evidence, you wonder what kind of stuff that is. Is some of it, could they be going through their phones? What is that other? I mean, look, today's the 18th. So this happened 10 days ago. I mean, they were found 10 days ago. It's been a while, and it's just now starting to make national news. So I don't know. Maybe it's a murder-suicide, and the reason that it's just really this one local.
Go out there and start a podcast and find out.
Well, I will say they have a
murder on
whatever island.
Whatever mountain that is.
Mountain.
Murder on Bell Mountain.
Bell Mountain.
I don't think that's what it was called. Was that what it was called?
Bellone, I think. That's
what you said.
Okay. All right.
You're not going to be able to do a podcast. You can't even remember that. It's Bell Mountain, man.
Well, we'll look at what we have it in front of us. I did see that they had a GoFundMe to try and help pay for their funeral expenses. And the last I checked, they'd gotten $30,000. I mean, I was looking through those commenters, too, just to see.
Trying to catch the killer?
No, trying to see if someone who knows them says, like, hey, you know, so-and-so is the one who called the police. But, you know, just something, because it's all from this one news outlet who did this story with them, and then everyone else, for New York Post, LA Times, are all just basically quoting that original story.
Call
so I think, I thought about
call
it.
He is on the case.
I thought, like, hey, maybe
call
we could.
Him. Don't try to call the parents.
Okay. I've got their Facebook information.
Okay, I'll reach out to them.
There's been a lot of people, it looks like, on Facebook trying to reach out to them, but it's worth a shot.
The Church of Laszlo.
My favorite Jeannie story is I stopped at the gas station one time, and I think teenagers, this is what I think. I don't think they're going to attack you or beat you up. There's no reason to be scared of them. They're just human beings. But I do think sometimes they like to shock you.
Yes.
Or to see how you react. You know, stand in front of a door somewhere, and you're like, come on, just move.
Yes.
Like, I'll do that. One time I was walking up, it was a gas station, it was late at night, as these two goth kids, for lack of a better term. And the guy looks at me right in the eye as I'm walking in, and then he just leans over and starts making out with his girlfriend. Like, oh, I'm going to shock you, right? And then he looks at me again. I literally just look at him and I go, gross, dude. And then actually they looked at me like, what? I just walked in like, God.
Yeah, that sounds like a teen
disgusting
thing.
Bro. That's what I said to him. Like, gross, dude.
That's probably
just
good.
Just making out with
good
that
feelings.
Ugly woman.
Because I assume she was a teen, too, so you just called this teenage girl ugly.
Making out with this girl in front of a gas station door? It's gross, bro.
Just decided to call a 13-year-old girl ugly.
Nah,
gross.
You're
gross.
16, you know.
You're ugly. 16, okay. Well, that makes it better. So I can't believe
it.
Can be
just as shocking.
Somehow I missed this, but thankfully somebody sent this to me because not only did this happen, it happened here in Kansas City. It happened in KCK, to be precise. Have you guys ever heard of Hey Sugar Ice Cream Shop?
No.
Me neither. Snow Cone, you used to go over there and get effed up in Strawberry
Where?
Hill, didn't you? Like in KCK and Strawberry Hill in that area. You've hung out over there before, right?
Strawberry Hill, yeah, but I've never heard of it.
I thought maybe you'd be familiar with it. I'm not either. But it looks like a very nice place. Well, apparently, a few days ago, there was a group of kids, 9 of them, to be exact, 9. Teens and preteens.
Preteens.
Don't know exactly what the ratio is, but that, yeah, preteens. They don't have to be teens to be trouble. I will say.
Okay, I'm not scared of a 12-year-old. I promise
you. It depends on the 12-year-old. It depends on the 12-year-old. Like, if your youngest son, when he was 12, if him and a bunch of his other 12-year-old friends, like his football team or whatever was hanging out somewhere and wanted to cause trouble, they could cause trouble.
The Goon Squad.
They could cause trouble for sure. And that's what this group was doing.
I mean, the Goon Squad has caused trouble on the court.
Exactly. Man,
to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you just
scared a lot of
look,
parents.
If there's a bunch of teenagers out there and they want to fight you, you pick one. And you tell them, like, I'm sorry, Spencer.
Yeah.
There's 12 of you out here and you guys are all going to hit me, but Spencer, you're going to die.
You're getting all of it.
Everything that I have is going right towards you.
Every ounce of it.
Every ounce of what I got is going to one dude. I'm not fighting all of you.
Yep.
So you guys are going to have to hit me in the back and whatever, and eventually you'll win. But I swear to God, that one kid that I just picked out is the price that you are going to pay for this.
It's hell on earth.
It's like, I am going to beat you senseless.
Well, that's good. You can teach them
I don't
a lesson.
I'll
but
get my ass kicked by everyone else, but you will remember this.
You guys, everybody else is fine, so let's just get it on. Let's go.
Yep.
Well, these teens were causing a ruckus, as teens are wont to do. And the manager of this Hey Sugar place, it's not clear to me if the manager said,
hey, Sugar,
quit causing. I don't know that she did, actually. I don't know, because it just says that these teens were causing a disturbance. They're outside the ice cream shop. And that during this disturbance, the teens begin to attack the store manager. So you just earlier said teens don't attack people. Yes, they do. They literally do, and they do it here. So these teens attack the store manager, leave her traumatized with a concussion. She had to be rescued by the Lowriders to Success group across the street. Lowriding to Success. It's a group of...
what?
This is a real story. It's a group of Hispanic Kansas Cityans who run this Lowrider bicycle shop. And I guess they get kids together. I don't know if they're troubled kids or what they are exactly. But it's like a youth program, and they work on these
awesome
Lowrider bicycles. And they get mentorship and all that. They
Lowriders
see...
Awesome.
So they're the good teens and adults. They see the bad teens across the street causing problems. So the Lowriding to Success guys come out And luckily, they're there. And they're there to rescue her, but not before she is traumatized and concussed. So, yes, they do attack.
Frightens us to think about what could have happened had we not been there.
Jalinda Cervantes called 911. Kansas City, Kansas police say a group of nine teenagers and preteens caused a commotion outside Hey Sugar. Police say that's when two 13-year-olds attacked a store manager.
Throwing punches?
It was disturbing. It was disturbing to see something like that.
That's the guy from Low Riding, one of the guys from Low Riding to Success. Mm-hmm. They saw the commotion going on across the street. If they hadn't been open, if those guys hadn't been there, she could be dead.
No, you're right.
I mean yes, she could be. Yeah. She was attacked by a group of teens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a pack of teens, a gaggle.
Exactly. I don't know what you call it.
It's a gaggle.
But I'm telling you, these kids don't understand consequences of their actions. You know, like serial killers don't understand the consequences. They say sometimes they think their brains are developed differently. But now these teens, we know that all of them have underdeveloped brains because they're all young. They're 13, 12 years old. So they're not thinking straight.
Well, I think this is a situation that happened, and it's unfortunate. And obviously, those kids need to be punished. And the woman, I feel bad for her. I'm just saying, as a whole, I don't think if you pull into 7-Eleven and there's four teenagers outside that you then need to drive to the next gas station.
It was at least twice that. First of all, it was probably eight teens. And there's nobody else there, and it's the middle of the night. You don't have to leave. But I don't think it's so crazy to say, I'll just go to the next gas station. I'm not like running on fumes here, and there's a gas station right down the street.
Well, you know, hey, avoid it. Be aware of your surroundings and avoid any potential, you know.
All right, let me ask you this. If you were trying to go to Hey Sugar, you park your car down the street, you and the boys are walking. Let's just say it's you. You're on your own. You want some ice cream on the way home. You're walking down the street. You see all of these teens out front causing a commotion. They're yelling, they're screaming, they're cussing. Yeah, they're, maybe they're throwing stuff at the window, and they're right by the front door.
At that point, then I leave.
Okay. Well, you just how's that different?
Because they're throwing stuff at a window.
Well, they said causing commotion, so I don't know what that commotion
is.
If I'm
out there and they're rioting, then I probably leave.
I'm going to change the entire thing. Right. How's it different?
Right.
Are you
but if I go up and they're just outside eating ice cream, I don't, I better go to a different ice cream shop. Or if they're just outside, one of them's got ice cream and the other four are making out, I just walk by them. And like, get out of the way of the door.
The kids at the Quick Trip were not just eating ice cream, by the way. They were skateboarding.
They were skateboarding.
And they started walking towards me. They did start walking towards me. So they looked at me like, oh, look, here comes somebody. Like they were waiting to do something. Probably just vandalized my car or something. No, but they start walking towards me. I was like, And you know what? I'm here, untraumatized, unconcussed because of it. And like I said, I feel bad for this woman, but it's just proof that it does happen. So I do want to thank the people who brought this to my attention because it almost slipped my radar, so I appreciate it. And big shout out to Low Riding to Success.
Yeah, that was crazy. Awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
And, you know, the lady at Hey Sugar.
Yeah, she's been injured,
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, think about that now. After you've been attacked by 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, you're going to be scared of 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds in the future. If you weren't before, you are now, you know?
Well, sure.
That's why I just choose to be scared of them preemptively. Just best to just
Stay away from kids. What age?
Boy.
What if there's a group of six dudes and they're in their 30s?
What are they doing?
Just hanging out in front of a 7-Eleven, smoking cigarettes.
Late at night?
Yeah.
There's nobody else there?
No.
Keep driving. Definitely keep driving.
What if it's six women?
What are they doing?
Smoking cigarettes.
What do they look like?
Rough around the edges.
Ugly ladies?
Some are, some aren't.
Smoking cigarettes?
Yeah.
Cussing a little bit? You can get gas, but don't go inside.
Okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers, he's a free agent. And I was just asking you guys earlier, like, what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? First of all, what does it cost to get Aaron Rodgers on your team for a year? And then which teams would think that's a good idea? There's been some names thrown out there, but I'm looking at stuff here from the last couple hours, and there are several little updates here and there. One of them says, this is according to Schefter, he says that Aaron Rodgers wants to join the Vikings.
Okay.
He has resisted going to the Steelers and the Giants, which I didn't even know the Giants were in the discussion, but I guess that sort of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard Steelers, I'd heard Vikings, but it looks like a lot more stories about Steelers than anyone else, at least in my feed here that I'm getting from within the last hour. One of the headlines here from 45 minutes ago says Steelers getting closer to finding out decision on Aaron Rodgers. Again, I don't know what it costs to sign him for a year. Snow Cone threw out a number like $35 million.
I think I had heard that from some guys on the radio.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'd buy that. That
like
sounds
1 year,
believable.
$35 million, yeah.
So then which team obviously could make that work? You're looking for someone for a year. You hope that he's healthy. And he did show some signs of life, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If you're Aaron Rodgers.
He passed for almost 4,000 yards last year.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He had some good throws.
28-11, touchdown, interception. So, I mean.
And how many games?
He's okay. He played all 17.
Okay. So, if you're Aaron Rodgers, and we kind of have an idea of who Aaron Rodgers is a little bit, do you think that he would have done things differently knowing what the reaction has been to his free agency? He just, you know. We're all worried about our image.
Well, that was my question. But, is there a way for him to go out gracefully?
That's kind of what I'm asking.
I'm thinking he's not going to win a Super Bowl and, you know, go drive into the sunset.
But they're
competitors.
But
is there a way for him to, you know, put in one more good year?
Yeah, he's got it in him.
It's totally possible.
The Steelers have a good team and the Vikings have a good team.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, Sam Donald threw for a lot of yards with the Vikings.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to believe that Sam Donald is, you know, better than Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't think so.
Right? I mean, even if they're the same at 41 and 28 or 29 or whatever,
yeah,
he could have the same type of year. My fear, neither one of those teams feel
would
like just
be crazy if it goes
great
to the Vikings.
Fits to me. Just because the Vikings are kind of like, oh, you guys were there, man. You won 14 games. That
you're right there.
Locker room is like solid. Like, yeah. People seem to like each other, right?
And this guy
you
could be
polarizing. You drafted a guy in the first round, you know, like, I'm roll with him and see what happens. Like, you got a lot of veterans, everybody, like, right, this guy could come in and just be a dick and destroy it. I mean, like, kind of seen him do it.
And whether he goes
to
Minnesota or
Pittsburgh.
The
other thing is, like, same thing. You guys got a good team. You're looking for a quarterback. You brought in Russ. That, you know, maybe that didn't work. Okay, but still.
But you said you're sticking with him.
But I've seen your coach, you know, stand on the sidelines when a guy gets a penalty and be like, hey. And the guy's like, he punched me and made me mad. He's like, it's bigger than you. The team's bigger than you. This game's bigger than you. It's not about you. We do stuff for the team. That's why you don't retaliate. I've seen him do that to people. Like, does Aaron Rodgers take that? Like, you know what I mean? Is Tomlin like, hey, Rodgers, the game's bigger than you. Right? This team's bigger than you. He seems like that ain't...
Well, if he did go to Pittsburgh, would there be a quarterback battle
in
either of these situations?
You're not bringing him in because you think that's going to be your missing key to win a Super Bowl. You bring him in because
you
hope he's going to be the mentor for the rookie.
Well, year, right? In Minnesota, I think you're thinking,
hoping he could get you there.
Bowl,
yeah, if you're going to pay that kind of money for a year.
You're hoping he's the guy that can get
we
you
just need that
further than Sam did last year. We're almost there with Sam.
Yes.
If Aaron's better, then we get there. And same with Pittsburgh. We're in the playoffs.
We don't need him at his best.
We're in the playoffs with Justin Field and Russell Wilson, if Aaron Rodgers is better than them, then here we go. We're in.
Yeah.
So I think, you are.
He doesn't have to be the best Aaron Rodgers ever been. He just has to be better than whoever was throwing the ball last year.
Exactly.
So,
but
with 1 year, I think you are trying to win a Super Bowl.
That, you know, does it divide? You know, Minnesota's got a good team. It makes more sense for Pittsburgh, maybe, because you're just like, I know, you know, if Tomlin could talk to him beforehand and be like, hey, you got to stop doing all that dumb stuff. And he's like, yeah, I want to finish this the right way. I'm on 100%. If he buys into that, then okay. And it's not like Tomlin hasn't had to deal with personalities before. He's got Pickens. He's kind of personality. AB.
Yeah.
He's kind of he knows how to do it. So I just feel like the Vikings are so close. Like, boy, I would hate to. If I were a coach, I'd be like, you know what? He could get us there, but he could also fracture this locker room.
How confident are you that you think, on a scale of 1 to 10, that he's better than Sam Darnold? That he will be this year better than Sam Darnold? Because I just feel like that's a coin flip, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
And that's a lot of money. Sometimes in the past, there have been teams where you go, this makes sense. I mean, just keep it local. The Chiefs, when they signed Joe Montana, the Chiefs were getting to the playoffs, right? They had great defense. They're
right
winning
there.
A lot of regular season games. They just keep getting stuck in the playoffs. We'll pay this guy $1 trillion and come in and try and win the Super Bowl. I don't see as many teams in the NFL right now who are close like that. And they just need somebody to be better than average for a year. They need him to be good, right?
Yeah, the thing is, like, what did you want? Like, so if the argument is, well, why'd you let Sam Donald go?
That's kind of my thing.
He was already there.
And you won a bunch of games.
And the players liked him. And yeah, in the last playoff game, he sucked, but whatever.
You won a lot of games.
The playoffs are hard to win because you know why? Because you're playing against good teams. Like, that's how it goes. Like, you know,
and if
why
he kept losing playoff games right. every year, then you go, okay, this guy keeps losing playoff games.
Yeah, but there's got to be other reasons. But,
yeah.
If you win in 14 regular season games and you get blown out in the playoffs, at least my thought is, hey, you know, no, he did not play good. Also, our game plan wasn't right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, look, maybe even take it locally. The Chiefs, like, hey, great season, played great, won tight games. At the end of that, in the Super Bowl, I'm not like, that's Kelsey's fault, that's Mahomes' fault, that's the offensive right. line's fault. It's like, hey, we played a really good team, and they had a better game plan than us. Our offensive line faltered. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it when you lose against a really good team. It just seems odd that you'd be like, well, Sam Donald's the problem, even though we won 14 games with him.
No, yeah. I
bring in Aaron Rodgers when he won, like, four with the Jets. That's the answer.
Right.
But, you know what? I mean, I'm not an NFL GM,
but I
wouldn't
agree
bring
with
him
that
in.
Stuff ever. But I do know that we've seen, you and I've complained about, seeing teams, you fire a coach because he keeps getting you to the playoffs, but he's not getting it. You're not winning the Super Bowl with them.
Right.
And, you know, every time that happens, you and I are always like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, good luck with that. You have this guy who's getting you there. And like you say, Lazo, playoffs are hard. And because you weren't winning Super Bowls, you decided you're going to start over. I've been a fan of a team that's done that. You know, when Schottenheimer mm-hmm. left, it was tough there for yep. a few years.
Right.
And it happens all the time. I never really agree with it, but I don't know.
It would be a crazy thing, too, is if he went to Minnesota, it would be the exact same steps that Favre took.
Exact same, which is
when
really...
Favre, I guess he was, because he got injured 1 year, so he didn't really play. So they both would have played 1 year for the Jets.
It'd be super yep. weird. It's like another glitch in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, it's one thing to go to one team, but the same two teams?
Three.
I guess it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, afterwards, I guess, is what I meant. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you think it's possible that Aaron Rodgers just no one wants to pay him?
Oh, I think they probably want him. I think there's people who would pay him. I do.
You do?
I think with that type of talent, somebody would pay him. I think probably Pittsburgh and Minnesota probably both want him, and they're just waiting for him to make a decision.
Well, that's what this makes it seem like, is that Pittsburgh really wants him and that we're supposed to find out on a decision about Pittsburgh soon. But you've got Adam Schefter saying, hey, he really wants to go play in Minnesota, and for whatever reason doesn't want to play for the Steelers. I mean, look, I get it. Minnesota's got a good team.
Yeah.
So does Pittsburgh. They won a lot of games.
Justin Jefferson, you get to throw to him.
Yeah.
That's enticing.
It's a pretty sweet deal. But I'm just a little surprised that it was such big news when he became a free agent because of who he is. His first time ever, he's been considered one of the all-time greats. And there's just kind of been this like, now what? You know,
yeah.
Instead of the constant updates, the back and forth, I don't hear a ton of updates on who's making moves with Aaron Rodgers, what's going to happen to him next. And you just think, that kind of sucks for him. I know a lot of people don't like him, whatever. But the guy is a tremendous athlete. He's one of the greats. You know, he's got plenty of money. There's nothing to cry. He doesn't need your sympathy.
But he probably could. The way I read the stories, and I guess, is that he could have already said,
maybe,
I'm going to Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah. Seems like he's the one. It seems like they're waiting on him, right?
Right.
So, whatever.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
Hey, had a good time hanging out with you today, buddy.
Good seeing you guys.
You're a hell of a guy. You know that.
You right back at you. Love you guys.
Man, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're an entertaining dude.
Thanks. You too, man.
Couldn't have spent a better afternoon with anybody else than you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yep, right back at you.
Yep. Well, good looking drink of water, too. I'll tell you that.
Thanks.
Easy on the eyes when I'm in here.
Well, I appreciate that as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
I like your shirt.
Thank you. Hey, good show, Northwest. Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a
DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.